Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Victorious Living. This is your host, Minister Janice. God is fighting our battles, arranging things in our favor, and making a way even when we don't see a way. Can I get an amen? God is fighting our battle, arranging things in our favor, and making a way even when we don't see. We can't see it. We don't see the way. But he's working it out on our behalf. That's the God that we serve. And we should say hallelujah, hallelujah. He's working it out. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come today, God, thanking you, Master. Thanking you. Thanking you for Jesus. Thanking you, oh God, for how you kept us and you never left us, God. We should have been dead, oh God, many times, but you told death to behave, to leave us alone. Oh God, we are grateful today, God, grateful for your many blessings that you shower up on us day in and day out, oh God, year in and year out, oh God. Seasons come and seasons go, and you stay with us. Oh God, we are just grateful today, God. Master, we ask right now in the mighty name of Jesus that you teach this lesson. Open up our hearts and open up our minds that we may hear from you and that we may know, oh God, that this is the day that you have created and that we should rejoice and be glad. No matter what it's looked like, no matter what's going on, we should rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. And amen. Again, we just thank God. We thank him for Jesus. And we bless his holy name. Mm-hmm. We know that there are many things that are going on in this earth. Huh? In this season. At this time. But God is good and he's good all the time. God is good. All the time, no matter what you may think, no matter what you may feel, he's good. He's taking care of you. He's giving you the air that you're breathing right now. That's God. Mm-hmm. The money that you have in your bank that he has allowed you to have, that's God. Yes, that's him. So we should be just grateful. Because he's always, always taking care of us. He's ever present. Even though sometimes we may go through some things, but he said that he would never leave us, nor will he forsake us. And we have to stand on that. We have to stand on the promises. That's what he said. Remember, he's not a person where he wouldn't tell us the truth. Yes, yes, yes. So, God is fighting our battle, arranging things in our favor, and making a way even when we can't see them. That is Psalms 34 and 17. Now, we know that we have been talking about a caregiver, caregivers, how they operate. What they're all about. Who is a caregiver? Mm-hmm. The qualifications of a caregiver. Yes. The qualifications. Who's qualified to do that? Who has been called to do that? Mm-hmm. Some of you think that caregivers are only those who change diapers. Uh-huh. And do a lot of cleaning. Mm-hmm. But I need to warn you that some caregivers are good at their jobs and have been doing their job for a very long time. And they know, personally, that it's not all just cleaning. Caregivers have to be good listeners. Yes, yes. They listen. They have to be good listeners. Caregivers many times don't jump to conclusions. Sometimes caregivers have to just listen and be quiet. Mm-hmm. Sometimes a caregiver may just have to say a prayer. But we have been discussing the qualifications of the caregiver. And some of the caregivers that we talked about, we noticed that their titles had changed. Some became taskmasters. Some became prison guards. Uh-huh. Some became leaders. Yeah. The leaders can be caregivers too. We know that there are caregivers that are good caregivers and there are bad caregivers. There are caregivers that you may not ever want to meet. Yes, yes. So we see that there are teachers, neighbors, aunts, uncles, clergy, and more who can be a caregiver. You can even be your baker. Mm-hmm. It could be your druggist. Yeah, see, a caregiver has many qualifications. Mm-hmm. He could wear many hats also. Yes, yes, yes. So being a caregiver can be fun and it can be delightful, but it should definitely come from the heart. Yes, yes, yes. So let us go quickly to Luke chapter 9. We're going to look at Luke chapter 9. And as you're turning to that, I just want to say we were last week in, let me give you that. Last week we were in, what is that? Acts. We were in Acts, the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16. Verse 25, yeah, verse 25, and we talked about how Paul and Silas, they were in prison, and they were with the prison guard, so he was their caregiver, and we talked about how he took care of them. Yeah, nobody was getting beaten that night, nobody was getting assaulted, everybody was asleep. But they were in this, what we call this form of sleep where you sleep, but you could still hear while you're sleeping. You're semi-sleep somewhat. And this particular guard, prison guard, was able to hear Paul and Silas as they prayed and sung songs of worship to God in the prison. So we see that there are different caregivers. Mm-hmm. He's a caregiver. Now we also talked about we just talking about some of the lessons that we have covered. We talked about how there was a taskmaster and how the taskmaster he was in charge. He was brutal. He wasn't kind. He was brutal. He was designed to destroy. That's the type of caregiver he was. His assignment was to destroy the Israelites because they had multiplied too much. It became too many of them, and they began to listen to fear, and they acted on fear, and fear told them that they had to eliminate some of the Israelites. So a taskmaster was set in place. Yeah, so we talked about that type of caregiver. So tonight we're going to be talking about, we're into Luke chapter 9, and it starts off saying here, verse 1, then Jesus called together the 12 apostles and gave them power and authority over demons and to cure disease. Listen to that. First of all, they were considered, if you see in your Bible, they were apostles. They weren't disciples. This was an apostle. And so what is an apostle? An apostle is a chief disciple. And when we say chief, we're talking about ladders of excellence, ladders that have climbed, areas that you have achieved certain things in, and you have grown and you have matured, and so you have elevated yourself. Now you're no longer a babe drinking milk. Now you're eating meat. Are you with me? Yeah. So here we see they were apostles. So they were seasoned in the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They had matured. Yes, matured. Maturity had come. Maturity had taken place in their lives. So they were considered an apostle. So here we see Jesus brings in 12 of them. He brings them all 12, and he brings them together, and he gave them, look at that, he gave them power and authority. He didn't give them just one thing. You know, sometimes we say, oh, we're just going to give you a little bit. We're not going to give you that much. No, Jesus gave them everything they needed. He fully equipped them. Mm-hmm. They were equipped. There was nothing lacking. Whatever they needed, they were given. And to have those two gifts, these were gifts now, because they couldn't go buy that. This was a gift that Jesus gave. He gave them what? Power and authority. So see, when you have the power, that means you have the ability to do it. And then when you have the authority, that means God has anointed you for that task, for that time, for that season. Glory to God. And who wouldn't want to be anointed by God? Huh? Think about it. You're taking a test in school, something on, you have a special assignment on your job, and, you know, they want you to bring in this report, and you're trying to do this report so you can get a promotion. You need to be anointed, and you need the anointing to come from God, because if God will anoint you, if he's going to anoint you, you're going to get that promotion, because everything God does, he does well. Think about that. Think about it. He does well. So here we see, here it says, not over something. And then this is it too. He didn't give them something small. This was not a small task. No, it wasn't something small, a Monique, this was huge. This was huge. To be able to have power over demons. What is a demon? A demon is Lucifer's, Satan's imps, who operate on the earth, and they operate under him. But here we see in this verse, the apostles were given power over them. So if the apostle said, be quiet, demon, in the name of Jesus, they had to be quiet. Think about that. Oh, yes, glory to God. Think about that. Wow, look at that. And then it says here, this was not something small, it said, but they had power over the demons and the power to cure, not just to put a pause. You know, people say, oh, but this is a sickness right here. This is just going to give you some kind of medication and you're going to feel a little better. No, this was not that type of thing. This was something that you had power to cure it. Mm-hmm. You had that power. And the power that you had to cure it came from God. Glory, glory. Whew. Think about this. Yeah, you should be shouting over this. This is a shout. Verse 2 says, and he sent them out to announce and to preach that the kingdom of God, and to bring
healing. The kingdom of God was here. The kingdom of God is here. See, the thing is, when we hear that, we say, the kingdom of God is here. And people be looking, so where is that? It's here. It's supposed to be in you. It's supposed to be in you, and it's supposed to be in you. That's where the kingdom is. The actual kingdom has not arrived yet, but it's already being set up. A lot of times we hear people say, the kingdom of God is coming. If you have accepted Christ in your life, the kingdom of God is here. Woo! Why? Because you're representing the kingdom of God. You don't have to look around and wonder and see, well, where is that? It's in you. You're the kingdom of God. Yeah. So it says here, make an announcement. And it said loud that the kingdom of God is here. Bring healing for all who would receive. And see, you got to remember that. Everybody's not going to receive. Go quickly with that. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Everybody's not going to receive. And it's okay. Yeah, because remember, God does not force himself on anyone. He gives us all a will. We have a will. We have a choice. We make the decision. Sometimes we may make the wrong one, but it's up to us. He's not going to force himself on us. He says he stands at the door and knocks. He wants you to open it. He's not going to say, I'm knocking on the door, open up because I'm coming in. That's not him. No. So look at this, verse 3, and it says, and he said to them, do not take anything. Now listen to this good. Do not take anything with you. No, do not take anything for your journey. Neither walking stick, are you listening? Nor wallet, for a collection bag, no food of any kind, no money, and do not have two undergarments. Hello? What are we saying here? And I saw that, I was like, okay, think about this. You know we do it. We do this. Here we see that Jesus is giving us, the caregivers, he's giving us a caregiver's guidebook. This is a guidebook, a book that we need to follow. And many times we don't. And when we don't follow this type of book, we get in trouble. And this is what we want to talk about in this verse 3. How we get in trouble? Well, it says here that in the guidebook, this is the area where most of us get in trouble because we don't follow instructions well. We don't follow, some of us don't follow at all. When he says here, no walking stick, could it be that he wants your hands to be free? Huh? Could it be that he wants you to appear to be strong, capable of a long journey, capable of walking, capable of relying on him in the journey, in the walk? When he said no wallet, could it be that he don't want you to have in your mind on money? You come on now. Come on, stay with me. Think about that. We're talking about a caregiver. Mm-hmm. See, you're going out. You're not staying in. You know, like most of the time we think we're going to stay in those walls. No, we are going out. That's what he said. He called them, and he did what? He's sending them out. Yeah. So he says, he tells us, no collection bag. No collection bag, no distraction. There is such a thing of a spirit of distraction, and it comes many times and distracts us in the body. In the body of Christ, we are totally distracted. Oh, yeah. No food. No need to worry about what you're going to eat. No need to even think about that. No need to worry about money. So through this experience as a caregiver, you will be blessed. Because if you look at the things, there's six of them, if you look at all the things that you're supposed to not to do, the only way you can function on this caregiver trip is you have to solely rely on God. Look at that. Look at that. No need to have undergarments. No need to have changing things. You know, we say, oh, I need to bring a pair of changing clothes or something. No, no need to do that. Hands are to be free. Huh? Everything is free. No carrying anything. So we're concentrating not on ourselves, but we're concentrating on others, because this is what we're doing. We are the caregivers. Look at verse 4. And whatever house you enter, look at that. He says, stay there until you go away from the place. So that means if you're at this house, and you know, I don't know if anybody ever went through a house ministry, in a house ministry. They've had several house ministries, even in the body. In the Bible, there were Priscilla and Aquila. They were ministries that were in the house. And this is how the ministry started, in the house. And so here we see that it's telling us that if you're at this place of residence, you're together. My mother used to always tell us, stay together. When you come together, you leave together. You don't go in and then you leave somebody in there and you standing outside. We stay together. Look at that. That's what it's saying. So whatever house you enter in, it says, do not work. Do the work of the Lord for your first priority. That's it. Your first priority. Why God sent you. What did he say? You are to go and announce that the kingdom of God is here. And that the healing is here. And that you have the power over any demons. So that means any sickness or any disease, you can lay hands, you can cast out, you can pray over those who need it. Now, if you're doing all of that in the house, there shouldn't be any other distractions because you're busy. You're busy. And so when one is ministering, the other should be standing close nearby. No one should be going out the door, hanging out there, trying to see what's going on, or going in the other room and see, talking to other people. No, we are together. Look at that. Look at that. And so we're speaking about healing. Huh? We're speaking about the kingdom of God is here. And who is it? At that moment, the kingdom of God is represented right there in the 12. Yes. Come on now, stay with me. Verse 3, and it says, and he said to them, do not take anything for your journey. Went backwards. Stay with me a minute. I'm getting excited. Verse 5. And whenever they do not receive and accept your welcome, think about that. When you leave that town, or really when you leave that house, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. Shake it off. And when we say shake it off, because most of the time you say, well, I've got to take my shoes off. No, but literally shake it off from your heart. Because a lot of times, most of us, when we are rejected, because this is how we feel, we have been rejected. They didn't want to receive. No, you shake it off from your heart. And what you have to remember is the rejection that is coming forth is not directly to you, but the rejection is to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Come on now. Stay with me. It's not for you. They're rejecting Jesus. Yeah. Your assignment was to go. You were to go and announce. You were to go and heal. You were to go and cast out demons. That's what you were supposed to do. Huh? Look at that. Look at that. So remember, as long as you do what you're supposed to do. Verse 6, and it says, and departing, they went about from village to village, preaching the gospel and restoring the afflicted to help everywhere. So there was healing. As caregivers, that's what we do. Are you listening to what I'm saying? That's the qualification of a caregiver. I'm here to help you. I'm here to help you get better. I'm here to put you on the straight street. I'm here to take you off the crooked street. I'm here to show you the way to the cross. I'm here to let you know that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has arrived. And I'm offering him to you this day. And you just ask him, do you want to receive him? Yeah. Don't take it personal. And many times this is what we do. Yeah. So are you listening to the instructions? Are you really paying attention? Maybe, just maybe, if we follow the instructions, this could eliminate some of the hurt and pain that we experience many times when we try to be validated. And we do this, we want to be validated by other people. We worry about what they think and what they have to say about us. No, we don't do that. Why? Because Christ has already validated you. When he called you, you heard in the beginning of the lesson, we say he called the 12. You are part of the 12. If you have accepted him as Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in your life, you are a part of the 12. Yes. So you have been validated because he has already come. He has appointed you. He has set you aside. Go quickly to Romans 8 and 30. And I'm just going to quickly speak about this out of the Amplified Bible. And it says, those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. He declared free of the guilt of sin. Hello. Now he's talking to me because he justified me. He called me out of a world of darkness, sin and shame. He took me off of that crooked street where I wanted to party all night, hang out with everybody. And he put me on straight street. Did you hear what I said? Yes. So here we see. And it says, and those who he justified, he also glorified. And he raising them to a heavenly, did you hear me? Dignity. So you have been raised. You have been elevated in the eyes of God. Yes. So you don't have to worry about what man think or what man feel or what man has to say about you. You have been already validated, and your validation comes from on high. Glory to God. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, thank you, God. Thank you for your word. Thank you, God, for your people, God. Bless them right now, God. In the area that they need blessing, oh God, we ask, Master, that you continually look upon us, oh God, lead and guide us into all truth. Show us how to be good caregivers. In Jesus' name we pray, and we say amen, amen. And we thank God for you for listening in, and we want you to just come back on next Friday. We are just glory, 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 having a good time learning about a caregiver. Yeah, there are many acts that caregivers should be about. And it should be about caring, sharing, and showing love, and healing, and listening. Because we got to listen sometimes. We can't always do all the talking. We have to listen. Be good stewards to our sisters and brothers in Christ. We look forward to having you back here with us on next Sunday with God Favored Ministries, and to on Saturday with Sister Sadie with the children for 7 o'clock. Yes, yes. And we thank God for you coming in just to spend some time with us. And we bless your holy name, oh God. Yes, yes. And we thank him for the many blessings that he continued to shower upon us. And remember, you can be the best caregiver. All you have to do is follow the caregiver book.
It was found in this chapter tonight. Okay? Amen. Amen.